It was about 8 years ago where I began to have a desire and a sense of a call to ministry, a call to be a pastor. Amen. At that time, I was in retirement planning. I had worked in that area for about 12 years, and the Lord began to work on my heart. Again, I believed he was calling me to be a pastor. Now, given our tribe, our Baptist circles, if you will, when you talk about going into ministry, particularly going to be wanting to be a pastor, the word that you're going to get from someone, and most likely many people, is, are you being called into ministry? Amen. And the key word there in that question is, are you being called? And what they mean is the Lord calling you into ministry? And I can remember wrestling with that and talking to different ones, my dad, Rusty, different ones, making it sure, is the Lord really stirring in my heart in this way? I can remember I met with a guy a little bit older than me. His situation was similar. He had been in the business world, and he transitioned to be a pastor, and we sat down. The conversation didn't go quite the way I thought it would. He was really challenging me. He was really wanting to make my calling sure. Amen. Make your calling. I can remember at the time being kind of annoyed by it, but now that I've been on staff here, you know, for a few years, this is no reflection on you, just ministry in general. I understand what he was getting at. Amen. But what I've noticed, and don't hear me wrong, it's very important. If somebody says, I want to be on a church staff or go into vocational ministry, I want to be a pastor, it's very important to make sure that that calling is legit. It's the real thing. Yes. But what I've seen, again, in our tribe and our Baptist circles is that it's almost a tier system. That if you're a pastor on a church staff, it's this type of calling. But if you're not a pastor, you're not on a church staff, maybe it's down here. But that is a mistake. Because each of us has a specific calling, a specific ministry that the Lord wants from us. It says in Ephesians 4 that we're to be equipped to do ministry, all of us. And so often, a pastor, a teacher is equipping you to do the ministry that the Lord has for you. And so this morning, we're going to look at the call of Jeremiah to be a prophet. But as we look to his specific and unique calling, we're going to look how each of us has a calling and the purpose from the Lord. Now, before we look at the call of Jeremiah to be a prophet that we find in chapter 1, I want to give some of the background and the setting for what is taking place as Jeremiah receives this calling. Now, it gets a little confusing, right? We go through the different prophets, whether it's Jeremiah or Isaiah or Amos. It's, okay, who are they talking to? What time period did they live in? So I want to kind of give that time frame. Now, this is a little bit of a history lesson, so some of you are going to like this, some. Hang with me, all right? It's going to be short, I promise. All right, now, the people of Israel, is their history played out? They got to a point where they desired a king. All the other nations had a king. They wanted a king. So in 1050 B.C., remember B.C., we're working our way back down to zero. In 1050 B.C., Saul became the first king of Israel. And the kingdom was united under Saul and David and his son Solomon. For 120 years, the kingdom is united. Under David and Solomon, this is really the golden period of the kingdom. Now, Solomon, he was wise. He was very ambitious. And so the kingdom under his rule, it began to grow. There was a number of building projects. Again, he was very ambitious. But what this caused with the people is a lot of harsh conditions that he required them to do these building projects. And so after Solomon passes the power, the reign of the kingdom onto his son Rehoboam, the people go to Rehoboam and they say, your father was very harsh. He was tough on us. Will you lighten the load and we will serve you? But Rehoboam, he was young. He took some unwise counsel and he tells the people that if you thought my father was harsh, I will be even harsher. And so what happens is the people, many of them, they revolt and the kingdom splits. And so the kingdom, it splits into the northern tribe and the southern tribe, what is called the nation of Israel in the north. Yes. And in the south, we have the kingdom of Judah. Now, what is interesting in both Israel and Judah is that they both had 20 rulers. Now, Judah, they had these 20 rulers. About 8 of them were good. They followed the Lord. When they followed the Lord, the people would often follow them as well. But in the north, in the nation of Israel, not one king followed the Lord. Not one king was obedient. They went after their own ways, their own desires. They acted evil against the Lord. And so the Lord, he cared for them, and he sent prophets warning them of the destruction that would come, to turn from their sin, turn back to the Lord, but they would not listen. And so in 722 BC, the Assyrian nation, this is the dominant world power at the time, they attack this northern kingdom of Israel, and they scatter the people. But in the south, again, they had some good kings, so they really kind of last a little bit longer. But as history unfolds, there's a new world power that comes on the world stage, and this is Babylon. And so Babylon, they come to attack Judah, and they come in waves. It wasn't all just at one time. And so in 605, and then 597, and then 586, they are attacking the tribe of Judah, but particularly the city of Jerusalem. And so they attack Jerusalem. People are under these very harsh conditions. They're starving to death. People are being killed. And the city is totally destroyed, and the temple is destroyed. Now, God, he had sent his prophets to the nation of Israel, to the nation of Judah, to warn them of this judgment, to call them to return to him. And so as we think about Jeremiah and his message that we see as we read through the book of Jeremiah and also the other prophets, we can really kind of summarize their message down in three words. And they had a message of sin. They were calling the people sin out. They had a message of judgment, but also renewal. And so we see this over and over again with the prophets. Now, when we think of prophets, often we think about end-time prophecies, right? We read something from Isaiah or Jeremiah, and we're trying to apply it to events now, and that's okay. But they really, this has been helpful for me to understand the work of the prophets, is to think of the work they did as foretelling and forthtelling, okay? So let me explain. Now, foretelling, this was predicting future events. And they would predict things that were going to happen in the near future, but also things in the distant future. And so when we think of the ministry of Jeremiah, for 40 years, he is telling the people that the Babylonians are coming. And so that's the near future. But also Jeremiah, he was speaking of things, and we're going to see this in a couple of weeks, things that would take place, that wouldn't take place for 600 years. But also with his message, it was just a partial fulfillment. And we are still waiting on it to be totally fulfilled today. That when Christ returns to this earth, when he sets up his kingdom, it will then be totally realized. And so again, they had both near and future fulfillments. But also they had this foretelling, this proclaiming God's message. And again, this is where they spoke of the people's sin and judgment and renewal. And again, we see this with Jeremiah and prophet after prophet, that God was so patient with his people. Decade after decade, he was calling them to repent, but they would not listen. And so God, he calls Jeremiah with this backdrop in 627 BC. He calls Jeremiah in 627 BC, and Jeremiah, for over 40 years, is going to call the people to turn, that the Lord would relent from the judgment if they would just turn back to him. Now look with me at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Now what the Lord says to Jeremiah is absolutely amazing. He is saying to Jeremiah that before Jeremiah was formed in the womb, that God knew him. And God is not just saying that he knew about Jeremiah, but there's this sense that he has a very strong relationship with Jeremiah already. That before Jeremiah was formed in the womb, the Lord had a personal relationship with Jeremiah, and he had set him apart. He had given him this work to be a prophet. Amen. And as we're thinking through our own call and purpose, you may be thinking, that is great for Jeremiah. It's very clear, his call. It's very obvious. You might even say, okay, I could see how that applies to maybe being a pastor, but how does this relate to me? So I want you to mark your place in Jeremiah chapter 1, but I want you to turn to the letter of Ephesians. So if you'll turn to the New Testament letter of Ephesians into chapter 2. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Now, a man by the name of Paul, he was a missionary. He established a number of churches after the resurrection of Christ. Today, we would call him a church planner. And he writes to this young church in the city of Ephesus, and he says this starting in verse 8. He says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Now, this is a great passage when it comes to understanding our salvation, that we cannot earn our salvation. We cannot do enough good works to earn that salvation, but we can only put our trust, our reliance in the work of Christ, his life, his perfect obedience, his sacrificial death, his resurrection. And when we put our reliance in his work and not our own, we can receive that grace and be saved. But so often we read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and we end there, right? But that's not where Paul's line of thinking stops. He says this in verse 10. He's continuing on. He's talking about our salvation, but then the work that we are called to after we've been saved. And he says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And that word toward the beginning of verse 10, handiwork, or your translation may say workmanship, is this Greek word poema, from which we get our word poem. And so what Paul is saying to you is that you are God's poem, that you are a work of art. Now, some of you may hear that and you roll your eyes. It's so cliche. But if you know anything about Paul and his letters, he was not writing these letters talking in cliche.
That's right.
And he was very conscious of selecting that word because Paul wrote about 13 letters, I think it's 13, in the New Testament, and he only used that word in one other place. And it's found in Romans 1. And the way that he uses it in Romans 1 is speaking of the creation of the world.
Amen.
So our world, the sun, the moon, the oceans, all these wonderful works of art. And we would say, yes, that is a work of art from the Lord. But what Paul is saying here in Ephesians 2 is that you are also a work of art.
Yes.
That you are God's poem. That he knew you from eternity past. He knew you. And he set a purpose and a calling on your life. And so your personality, your looks, your temperament, your talents. So often these are the things that we don't like about ourselves, but this is how God has formed you. He knew you from eternity past so that you could walk in the specific calling that you have.
Amen.
Now you may be saying, okay, that sounds great. I do believe that God has a call and a purpose for my life. That makes sense. But how do I know God's calling on my life? So I want to provide what I hope are some helpful ways for you to determine your calling and purpose in life. So first of all, start with the general, what God has clearly revealed in his word. And so often this is just very practical things that are very obvious that we find in God's word. So that's attending church regularly. That's reading your Bible. That's praying. Now, I'm not talking about perfection, but are we being obedient to the clearly revealed things from the Lord that we find in the Bible? And what you'll notice is as you're being obedient in these general things, these clearly revealed things, that the Lord will begin to show you the specific.
Amen.
But I want to touch on some of these general callings that we have in life. If you are married, you are called to love your spouse. If you have children, you are called to raise them up in the Lord. If you are an employee, you are called to work hard as unto the Lord. If you are an employer, are you treating those that work for you with respect? Are you paying them appropriately? And so these are just some examples. But as we do the general, what God has revealed to us, he's going to begin to show us your specific purpose and calling. And there's going to be overlap here. I'm not trying to make too fine a line of distinction. And so it may be that as you're called to love your spouse, just the ups and downs of marriage, that you begin to have a real heart, a sense that God has a certain ministry for you to help other marriages. That as you're raising your children, you actually like children, right? You're not counting the days down till they leave the house. And you say, maybe I'm to foster. Maybe I have that gift. At your job, you may just be, let's be honest, you're just kind of grinding it out. It's not the job that you want, but it may be that the Lord has given you opportunity and he's going to place you into a specific job and ministry later on. And so as we think about that specific calling, let me provide some helpful things to think through. First of all, what are some of your desires, your passions? What are some felt needs that you have? You know, we go around this room. Each of us is going to have certain desires and felt needs. Mine are going to be different than yours. And that's good. And it may be that as you're thinking about that passion, those different felt needs, that this is where the Lord is calling you. What skills and talents, what gifting do you have? What Paul is saying in Ephesians is that you are saved, but also once you're saved, you have these good works. And he will say elsewhere, such as in 1 Corinthians, that each of us has a gifting. Amen. And so if you are a believer in Christ, you are gifted for a specific ministry the Lord has for you. Now, let me also say this. Your skills and talents that you have for your job may not always translate to the gifting that the Lord has for you. So you may be great in the business world, but that may not translate to church life. And so you, again, may be great in the business world, making lots of money, whatever it could be. That's awesome. But the Lord may gift you to teach. And he may gift you with adults to teach. He may gift you with fifth graders to teach. And that is the calling the Lord has for you. So they don't always match up. But also, as you're thinking through your specific calling, you need to seek wise advice and counsel. I can remember in my own life, as I was wrestling with this, seeking the counsel of others. And in my calling, I had been thinking and praying on it for a number of years, and then I kind of worked up the courage to say it to a few different people, and they're like, yeah, that of course, we already see that in you. Amen. And so go to that person that you trust and ask them, do you see this gifting in me? And then pray. Again, my own personal calling, I would go to the basement of my house and I would just pray to the Lord. And this took place over a number of years. And it wasn't every day, but it was pretty consistent where I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. It was a big decision. It's a big transition. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, is this what you are calling me to do? I wanted to be obedient to that calling. And again, it took a number of years before I was on staff here. But the Lord, as he was working through that, he was giving me opportunities, ways to serve here. He was bringing different conversations up to help make that call clear. But let me say this. If you are restless, if you just kind of have this sense of just being unsettled, maybe you're bored with life, it may be that you are bored, that you have this restlessness because you are not being obedient to the calling that God has for your life. That he has this purpose for you, and you're not walking in step in it. But Jeremiah, he wasn't so sure. He's pretty reluctant. And so we see this in verse 6. So if you turn back to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6. Jeremiah, he responds to the Lord. He says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am too young." Jeremiah says, "Oh, Lord, I don't know about this. This is a tough thing you are asking." He says, "I'm not a great communicator." And he says, I'm too young. And most scholars believe that Jeremiah was a teenager, maybe 20. So he was young. But Jeremiah, what he is really saying to the Lord is, "Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I don't trust you." He gives the Lord excuses. And we see this so often throughout the Bible. This isn't just doesn't just apply to Jeremiah. We see this with Gideon, for example, in the book of Judges, where God calls him to fight in this battle. And Gideon responds, he says, my clan is the weakest. I'm the weakest in my Father's house. He's saying, I can't do it. We see with Isaiah, he is called to be a prophet, and he cries out to the Lord. He says, I'm unclean. He's saying, I'm sinful. I'm too sinful to do this work. And like Jeremiah, we see Moses, where Moses also says, Lord, I cannot speak. I'm not a good speaker. And this is so much like us that God gives us the specific calling, the specific purpose in life, and we have our doubts, we have our fears. We think we're disqualified to the calling that he has because of past sins. And we need to remember that those sins have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, that we have been made new, and even after you're a believer, his blood for your sins still applies. We think we're not skilled enough. We don't have the ability. Like Jeremiah, we make excuses. But the Lord responds in verse 7, and the Lord is so patient and kind with Jeremiah. He's so patient and kind with us. And he says in verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send to you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. What the Lord is saying to Jeremiah and what he is saying to you is that when he places that specific call on your life, that God will provide his presence Amen. And his power. Amen. That God will be with you. And just as God touched the mouth of Jeremiah, this was symbolic of Jeremiah, I am with you, I am giving you this gifting, so the Lord has gifted you to fulfill your calling. But this doesn't mean it will be easy. This doesn't mean that things will always go smooth, because if you are fulfilling the purpose that God has for you, at times it will be opposed, at times it will be difficult. At times you will be tired and worn out, where you just want to quit, you want to give up. And with Jeremiah, this message that he had to the people of Judah was hard. He did this for over 40 years, and yes, he had parts of his message that had great comfort and hope, but the majority of his message was that of calling out the people's sin, that judgment was coming. And as you can imagine, this was not a popular message with the people. And so what Jeremiah faced was being beaten and mocked and ridiculed. His own family turned on him. The nation accused him of treason. He was put in prison. Attempts were made to kill him. And it may be that your calling sends you to an area that is very hard. I don't want to say it won't apply to you. It may apply to you. Rusty and I this past week met with a young lady, probably 27, 28, single, going to the mission field to a tough area. And as I was meeting with her, it was so enjoyable to hear her heart for missions. But I also know that she may face some of this one day. But it may be that just in the ordinary parts of life, as you are fulfilling your specific call, it's still going to be hard. Don't make light of that. Most of us are not going to have some grand purpose and calling. It's just going to be in the ordinary things of life, of loving our children, of serving in our kid ministry. It may be witnessing at work, but you may be ridiculed for it. It's not popular to be a Christian, and it's going to get harder. But will you fulfill the purpose and the calling that the Lord has for you? And have the confidence that his presence will be with you. And for Jeremiah, his message, his ministry was hard. And he got to the point in Jeremiah chapter 20, we read this, that he tells the Lord, he says, Lord, you've deceived me. He says, Lord, I've been tricked. He says, Lord, I will no longer speak of your name. Lord, I quit the ministry. But then we read those great words in Jeremiah chapter 20. And he says, but the Lord's word, it burned in my heart and I could not hold it back. And so for you, the calling that the Lord has for you, don't make light of it. and know that his presence and his power will be with you. It will sustain you. And you may have a calling that lasts a lifetime, but you may have different callings that last different seasons of life. And when you know it's from the Lord, do not give up. Know he is with you. And so as we conclude, I want you to think about this question. What's God's call on your life? So think through the things that were mentioned earlier, your passions, your desires, where you have these felt needs. Where do you see a burden, maybe with people in our church, but in your community? Think through that, because that may be where the Lord is calling you to serve. So what's God's call on your life? I want you to think about that today, but don't just hear this and then walk away. Think about it this week. Find counsel from those that you trust. And what I love to think about as we work through the calling and purpose that each of us has is how it can benefit our church within the walls of our church. And we have great needs, and there's great ministry that is taking place in the walls of our church. But really what excites me is that we gather as a family of believers so that we can then scatter to a world that is hurting. That we gather to love each other, to praise the Lord, to be equipped for ministry, and then we do the ministry out there. And it would be overwhelming, and we could not do it if it was our own strength. But we have all, each of us, been created for a purpose. That God, from eternity past, before you were in the womb of your mother, he called you to that ministry. He has set you apart for that good work, and he provides his presence and his power. And so we end with this. Will you pursue your calling that God has for you? Will you pursue that calling? Would you close your eyes? Bow your heads, please. As we've seen from these passages, God has a specific call on your life, and I hope you believe that. I hope you've seen that this morning. And if you need prayer, some guidance, some directions, we would love to pray with you this morning. We would love to set up a meeting to talk with you about that. And it may be that you want to come to the altar by yourself and just be honest with the Lord that he's been working and stirring in your heart for some time now, but you've not been obedient to that call. And you may need to confess that to the Lord. Do that this morning. But it may be that you've not answered that first call of the Lord, that call to turn from your sin, your rejection of the Lord, and to place your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ. God wants you to receive the salvation that Christ provides. He has a specific call and purpose for your life, but you first have to turn from your sin, trust in Christ as your Savior, and then, as Paul says, walk in those good works. So if that is you this morning, we would love to pray with you, to share the gospel in more detail with you, so that you are firm in the gospel, firm in what it means to be a believer, and so that you can then walk in obedience to the Lord, and so that you can know that you are now in his family, and that he loves you deeply, and he will know you for all eternity. So Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for how powerful it is. Lord, how relevant it is to our life. And Lord, we are amazed at what you are saying, that Lord, before we were formed in the womb, you knew us. Lord, that is even hard to think about, hard to imagine. And Lord, we also help us to realize that, Lord, we are your poem, your work of art. And Lord, most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his tremendous love and sacrifice for us. And Lord, we ask this in his name. Amen.